Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. And what we're going to study about today is forbearing to deliver them. It has to do with our witness. Forbearing to deliver them. It has to do with us witnessing to others. All right, look with me in the Bible. Proverbs 24, 11. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he let know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Look at it again. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? They said, what are we dealing with here? Well, you know what it's like? I'll tell you what it's like. It's like a man on death row. Okay? Somebody you know is on death row, and you have evidence that would convince a judge and a jury beyond any doubt whatsoever that the person who they were about to kill is innocent. And what you do is you just pretend that you didn't know anything about it. Oh, well, we didn't know that was going to happen to him. Oh, we just thought he was in jail. We didn't know that he was, you know, like, going to die. And you forbear to pass that information on to the authorities so that it can be considered, that information can be considered, in not only sparing that man from being drawn to death and being slain, but also would result in his being freed from prison. That's what this is about. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, you have the evidence. And those that are ready to be slain, you know that there is something that you can do, something that you can do to keep them from dying. Okay? And you don't do it. And you say, well, I didn't realize that it was that serious, or I didn't know somebody was fixing to kill him. You know of a plot, all right? You know of a plot to kill somebody. And you just don't do anything with it. I mean, I'm thinking over there in the book of Acts when Paul was in jail and the Jews, 40 of them, had made a covenant among themselves that they weren't going to eat. They'd bound themselves under an oath they weren't going to eat till they'd kill him. And they set up a deal. They were going to have Paul brought into court again. And as he was being transported from the jail into the court, they were going to ambush him and kill him. Well, Paul's sister's son heard of the plot, and he went to Paul and told him what was going to happen. Paul referred the boy to the captain. Captain passed it along to Lysias, and Paul was spared. That's what we're talking about here. Paul's sister's son had evidence of the murder. Mordecai had evidence of an attempt to assassinate Ahasuerus. And he made sure to get the information to Esther, and Esther then made sure to get that information to the king so that the king could kill his proposed assailants and spare his life. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou say, we didn't know it. Mordecai could have said, oh, I didn't know anybody was getting ready to kill Ahasuerus. You know, just so he wouldn't have to put himself at risk. That's the problem. You know, if the proposed assassins understand that a Mordecai is getting ready to squeal on them, they could kill him. And there are a lot of people that will just duck it and not get involved at all because they don't want to get, you know, they don't want to get involved. They don't want to get hurt. Well, let me tell you something. Here in the verse it says, if we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? He that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Look, if you attempt to intervene in a situation like that, God rewards you. See? And if you forbear and pretend like you didn't know anything about it, then what happens is that God renders to you according to your evil work. You got it? Because he knows what's going on. He knows the truth. And listen, that is a New Testament doctrine, that doctrine of him rewarding the good and punishing the evil. New Testament doctrine. You say, well, all my sins have been forgiven. Yes, sir, but you still have to face the judgment seat of Christ for everything you've done in your body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Look in Colossians 3, 24 and 25. Don't let anybody fool you that just because your sins have been forgiven, you still don't have an account to God, because you do. And you'll be rewarded for the things that you do that are good, and you will suffer loss for the things that you do that are bad. Colossians 3, 24 and 25. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Doesn't make any difference who you are or what kind of a hotshot you are. You do wrong, you're going to receive for the wrong which you have done. So if we forbear to tell somebody that's drawn unto death or that's ready to be slain, if we forbear, then we're going to receive for the wrong. Now listen, you are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so am I. And truthfully, we have to be because Jesus Christ himself is not physically here to do this work. He's not here to do the work himself. He left and he said, I'm going to give this for you to do. And he said, you're going to do greater works than I did. He's left this kind of work, this witnessing. He's left that work for us to do. And you know something? We know beyond the shadow of a doubt that every soul that dies without Christ will spend an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. We know that. No matter how disgusting that thought may be, and if it concerns a relative, no matter how you try to justify your way out of it, if a soul dies without Christ, he will go to hell, and from hell he goes into the lake of fire. And we know something else. We know that lost souls need someone to tell them. We know that. We're all prone to quote Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, you know, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe that. That's Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. But do you believe 14? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? They need somebody to preach to them. And we know that. Now, the question is, are you telling them? Are you? Well, I just believe that they can tell that I'm a Christian by the way that I live. Really? Most of the time when people look at the way another person lives, they become very suspicious and start thinking in terms of hypocrisy, because none of us is perfect. I don't want somebody following the way that I live. I'm trying to be an example. But, you know, because Paul tells us that we need to be examples to the flock. Okay, I understand that. But if you don't open your mouth and tell them, they may just assume that you're a good poison. You see? They may think that you are just a wonderful human being. They may never get the idea and the connection that the things you're doing are there because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, lost souls without Jesus Christ are drawn unto death. They are ready to be slain. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And look, God's done his part. He has already sent Jesus for them. He's already done that. And Jesus has already done his part. He's already died for them. They just need someone to tell them. And you and I have that job to do. You say, well, I don't know if I want to tell them. I don't know if I want to get involved in that. They may get turned off, or they may hate me or something like that. That's why other people that have evidence to help a criminal get out of his death sentence, that's why a lot of people won't step to the line. They're afraid of the people. Jesus Christ suffered that. Pilate could have let him go. He was determined to let him go, but he was afraid of the people. He didn't want to get involved. Didn't want to stick out like a sore thumb and suffer the consequences. You know what that is? That's a chicken. Do you want to be one of those? Listen, you and I don't have the excuse that's written here in this proverb. Behold, we knew it not. We know. And we know that we have been told to do this work. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So what about it? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we don't tell what is rendered to us, something bad's going to happen. Now, if we do tell and people get saved, there's a reward. First of all, the soul gets to go to heaven. Secondly, there is the crown of rejoicing. And third, there's the joy now. If we don't tell, then we're going to have something rendered to us. You say, what's that? Well, there's three things that are going to be rendered to you if you won't tell. First, their blood. Look in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3, and look at verse 17. Their blood is accounted to you or rendered to you. Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. Now the Lord's made you a watchman. Verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, I'll tell you what that's like. We're going to keep reading, but I'll tell you what that's like. That's like you being on a highway, and you come up on a bridge that has been washed out by high rising water that has now receded. You suspected there might have been a problem. You slowed down, and sure enough, the bridge got washed out. Now, you pull over to the side of the road, realize there's no way to cross, turn around and start heading in the other direction, and you see coming towards you another car that doesn't realize that bridge has been washed out. And you won't tell them. You won't flash your lights. You won't do anything to attract their attention. You just let them go right on to their collision. Okay? Then you turn back around to see if something bad happened to him. You go down there, you don't see any brake lights. You go in there and they have been, not only have they crashed in the stream, but the stream was still deep enough to flood the car, and they're dead. You know who's responsible? You are. Their blood is on your hands. Why? You didn't tell them. But you knew they were heading toward impending danger, and you thought, well, maybe they'll figure it out on their own. That's the way most of us treat this thing about hell. They say, well, they'll figure it out on their own. They can watch a TV evangelist or hear it on the radio, or they'll go to church one day and they'll find out. I don't need to be the one to tell them. You know where they're going when they die. Why won't you tell them? The Bourbon Street preacher was driving down a road. He got flagged down one night. He was scared to pull over because he was afraid the guy was trying to rob him. And he rolled his window down just a crack so the guy couldn't break in. And the guy said, don't you go any further. The bridge is out. And that fella saved his life. Watchman on the wall, that's you. That's me. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So you holler to the guy, your bridge is out. And he drives in to it anyway, because he thinks you're a kook. Well, then the blood's on his hands. You tell a guy, look, you're going to hell without Jesus Christ, and he decides to go there anyway, blood's not on your hands. You can't get him to get saved. All you can do is witness to him. Verse 20, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. So the first thing that you and I have to realize is that the blood of these sinners without Christ is on our hands, and as watchmen, we've got to tell them. You say, woo, that's pretty spooky. Yeah, woo, it really is. It's serious business. This society that we live in is trying to make a mockery out of what God has done with the gospel by turning it into an entertainment show and turning it into a soul-winning program, and people are not just desperate to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. I had a chance to witness to a fellow just the other day, and a mutual friend of ours had been witnessing to him, and I mean, he got that guy so stirred up, the fellow was dreaming about it. The fellow would see a billboard and react to something that Jesus Christ had, you know, something about Jesus Christ that was on that billboard. I mean, the guy was under heavy conviction, and I'm telling you, he got saved, and he's going to heaven now, and his blood will not be on anybody's hands, and he made the right choice. You say, well, show me in the New Testament where Paul was ever concerned about the blood of a sinner going to hell being on his hands. All right, then. Thank you for asking. Acts chapter 20. I was wondering when you'd get around to it. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 26. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Paul says to the elders of Ephesus, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. There it is right there. Paul said, I'm not worried about having your blood on my hands. I told you everything. And so therefore I'm pure from the blood of all men. Wow. Can you say that? Now that's a bold statement right there coming from Paul. Listen, it's serious business. They're going to die and go to hell without Christ. And if you don't tell them, who's going to? The radio preachers and the TV preachers, for the most part, are more interested in their money than they are in getting those souls out of hell. And a lot of the pulpits have turned cold, too. So you got the job, and it's laid on you because you know the truth, and the people are there with you. Get busy. If we don't tell what's getting ready to happen to these folks, if we don't tell them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, then what else is rendered to us? I'll tell you what's rendered to us, the fiery torment. Look in Jude 23. You say the what? The fiery torment. Look in Jude. You know that hell is fire, even though some very popular preachers now just say it's separation from God or whatever else. It's fire, okay? Book it. God said it's fire, it's fire. Our God is a consuming fire. We're going to be able to live in his presence like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in the fiery furnace because we're going to be with Jesus. When God's presence is around them, they're going to be in a consuming fire. Come on, man, you got that figured out. Jude 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There is a literal fire. And you've got to save them with fear by pulling them out of that fire. Now, some you save with compassion, making a difference in verse 22. But others, they're stubborn. You've got to get in their face about it and save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You say, look, man, you know, I'm not going to go to hell. Okay? That's true. If you're saved, you're not. And I don't want to mess with this stuff. Well, let me tell you something. At the judgment of God, the white throne judgment, okay, you're going to be there. Saved man, you're going to be there with Jesus Christ and with God. All right, your buddy that you know from work is going to be there too, but he didn't trust Jesus Christ as his Savior like you did. And you didn't mind telling dirty jokes around him and things like that because you wanted to think you were cool like he was, but then you know, kind of had to go to church with your wife, you know. So you'd go on to church when you didn't have any desire to do that. Now all of a sudden the white throne judgment comes up. You're in heaven. You're one of God's children. There you are with your wife and with Jesus Christ. And there he is standing over the precipice of hell. No earth available for him to stand on. No works available for him to show. No testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ. And there he is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? You're going to be there to judge him. And when Jesus Christ says he's condemned to hell, you're going to watch him go down. And I'll tell you what he's going to do. The last thing he's going to do, he's going to cut his eyes over at you and mouth with lips that are beginning to catch on fire. Why didn't you tell me? And off he goes. And you will know. You're not going to burn in hell for it. Your sins are forgiven. But you're going to always know that you were the one that had the opportunity to tell him something about Jesus Christ, and you refused because you were afraid something bad would go wrong. Kind of like Abraham was afraid when he took Sarah into Abimelech and down into Egypt. He said, just tell him you're my sister. He didn't want him to know that they were married in case maybe something bad would happen to him. You think maybe something bad is going to happen to you, so you forbear to tell them and then pretend, well, you know, I didn't know he wasn't saved. I never asked him, see? Now he's on his way to hell. You never said anything about it, and he's mouthing to you while he's writhing in pain. Why didn't you tell me? Paul knew what that looked like. He knew what that example was going to be like. And so you know what he said in Romans chapter 9? Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, he said, I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. All right? He's telling you something that's true. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Do you see that? He's saying, I wish that I could take the curse for them. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, look at that. That is a man that is very zealous and very fervent about his desire to see those souls get saved. You know why? Because he knows that what they're going to face is a fiery torment, and he didn't want to have to see anybody that he ever had a chance to witness to look at him across that fire and mouth to him with burning lips. Why didn't you tell me? What else is rendered to us if we neglect to tell him? This is some bad stuff here, isn't it? It is. It's very sobering, but it is very serious. And being swept up in all this praise and worship and hallelujah and glory to God and feel good and how you doing today and backslabbing and put a little money in there and Merry Christmas and all that, we forget that people are dying and going to hell. And we're forbearing to deliver them. They've got to be told. James chapter 5, verse 20. James chapter 5, verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know what's rendered to you? Their sin. Now, you've been forgiven. You're not going to have to pay for their sins, but it's rendered to you. Let me show you what I'm talking about. One time we were preaching on the street in Mobile, outside of a bar, and a fellow's coming by there by himself, heading toward the bar. Okay? So we stopped him and witnessed to him, and I asked him, I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm getting ready to go in that bar. I said, be very honest with me, okay? I don't mean to be disgusting and all that kind of stuff, but you've stopped here to talk to us. We're preachers. We're preaching. Tell me, what are you planning on doing in that bar? He said, well, I plan to get me something to drink, and I plan to get a little drunk, and then after that, I plan to find me a woman and take her home, bed down with me. All right, there you go. I told you. It's very straightforward, very rude, but that's what he was planning on doing. We got that Bible out and showed him a few verses, dealt with him about his soul. That fella had gotten saved when he was younger, and he was terribly backslidden. We rekindled the fire of joy of his salvation in his heart. You know that what that guy did in about 15 minutes? He turned around and walked right back to his car. And I said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the house to start reading my Bible. This is Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday. I got to get up and go to church. I said, well, you're not going to go in there and try to find you a lady? He said, I don't need anything with that. You know what we did? We turned that guy from his sin. And at the judgment, that's one more sin that he will not have to face for something that he did in his body. His sins are forgiven, but that Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, you got to give account of what was done in that body, whether it's good or bad. And he'll never have to give account of that. He was converted from the error of his way. And we hid a multitude of sins. You know, Paul did that. Really, yes, Paul got right in the face of Felix. When he had a chance to preach to Felix, he reasoned of righteousness, there's Jesus Christ in salvation, of temperance. Felix was doing some things that weren't right, and judgment to come. And when Paul reasoned with him of those things, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix trembled. Do you have enough power of God on you and enough conviction about right and wrong that if you stood there to talk to a man about the error of his way, he'd tremble at your words because he'd take seriously what you had to say? Not many today. Not many today. They did. The old-timers did. Boy, they had the Holy Spirit on them. The power of God was evident in the city. Those fellows would start to preach, and people would tremble and weep and beg for mercy. Jonathan Edwards read a sermon. He didn't even preach it with all the fervency and oration that you see with preachers sometimes. He just got up there and read the thing, reading it script right down like that. But he'd prayed over that thing, and God got in there, and people were crying out for mercy, begging God to forgive them. Why? Because he was interested in turning them from their sin. And you know something? He did. So when you and I forbear to tell these that are drawn to death and that are to be slain, then what happens is we don't stop their blood, and it's on our hands, according to Paul. We don't stop the fiery torment. They wind up in hell, and we don't stop them from their sin. And God has to look at us and say, man, you know, there is a woman that would not have been hurt by that fella if you'd have convinced that fella not to go do what he was going to do to that woman. Kind of like Jonadab did to Amnon when Amnon ended up messing around with Tamar. You know, that Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, after the white throne judgment is done, we're all up in eternity. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, my goodness, what are they crying about? We're all in heaven. We ought to be rejoicing. You know what the tears are? The sins we didn't stop, the hell we didn't stop, and the blood we didn't stop. That's what it's about. He'll wipe it away, give us a heart, get on beyond that thing. We had our chance, and there it goes. And these people are ultimately accountable for rejecting Jesus Christ anyway. But listen, you and I have got to be witnesses of these truths. Now, Paul said, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means win some. You're not going to get them all, but at least he tried. Are you trying? Is that what you do? If not, then I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to follow Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12, and do what you are supposed to do as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.